Good evening, guys. How are you? Good evening, guys. How are you? This is Stephanie, host of LAID. Tonight, we are taking a departure from our regular topic. This is an impromptu show that I wanted to do regarding what's going on in Baltimore and, more importantly, why it's going on. You know, we send prayers to the family of Freddie Gray. You know, and we pray that he's resting in peace. You know, but Freddie Gray is the last, you know, so far, you know, of a long line of injustices and cruelty, you know, that has been, you know, going on, you know, with our people. You know, and when I say our people, I mean and Black people. You know, it's just the long history of injustice and unbelievable cruelty. You know, okay, I got so many thoughts rushing through my head at one time. You know, I had things that I planned to say that I can't think of right now. But, you know, the reason why I decided to do the show today is because, you know, all day long, tears have been welling up in my eyes. You know, thinking about this, thinking about, you know, I usually, honestly, I try to avoid when these big things, you know, blow up like that, I get very emotional about it and it brings me down. So I try to avoid it. I basically stick my head up my behind and try not to see it, try to avoid it, try and do, you know, laugh at something, you know, or whatever. But it doesn't stop it from going on. Ignoring it doesn't mean it's not there, you know. And me, myself, having two young men, you know, two sons who have been stopped by the police. You know, one, my oldest son, I recall he wanted to be, when he was younger, he wanted to be a cop. And, you know, I think at the age of 12 was his first time being stopped by the police. And so many times after that, times that I never even knew about. You know, but the times that I did know about, I can remember not understanding. You know, all I felt like I was basically accusatory towards him with the attitude of, well, what were you doing? You know, and I think maybe that's probably why he stopped telling me that these things, you know, when he got stopped by the police. You know, because I felt like, well, what were you doing? Now, you know, well, the police not just going to stop you for nothing. Until one day I saw it happen. Before my eyes, I was waiting in the lobby of my building, waiting for my ride. I use a mobility van, you know, for people who have disabilities. And he was standing there just waiting with me. And we were just talking. And, you know, my daughter and her boyfriend and her baby were coming down out of the elevator. And all of a sudden, these undercover detectives, they just come swooping in and threw them up against the wall and, you know, the pat down and everything. And I was in shock. I was, what is going on here? I felt helpless. I felt terrified and helpless. Terrified because, you know, I didn't know how my son would react. I didn't know, you know. I didn't know if he was going to be, you know, get the F off me. You know, I didn't know if he was going to react how he felt. And, you know, knowing that these situations can escalate. And helpless because I knew there was nothing that I could do about it. You know, but they gave him the pat down, you know, whatever. And then, you know, there was nothing wrong, you know, so they went on about their way. But it just... To be unable to walk the streets doing anything, I mean, doing nothing, you know, you've done nothing, and to, it's like you're a target, sort of, you know, and it's really nothing that I would really, really understand. I really, really don't understand that, you know. I recall my other son, one time he walked a friend, you know, he went with a friend home, you know, the friend lives in the hundreds. you know, 100-something street, and I live downtown on 17th Street, and it was late, and it's like, hey, you know, I called him, where are you? Oh, I'm at 100-something Street, and it was cold outside, but it was past the time for his train pass, and he had ran out, and he didn't have any money, so he had to walk home. And so at some points he was running because he was cold, you know, like just running, trying to get the heat in his body up or whatever. And I remember, don't run. Don't run, because unfortunately when you run, you look like a suspect, you know, and you're guilty first, and then the truth comes later. And as a mother of two black young men, I live with a certain fear that something will happen to my sons, you know. And it's not a, you know, it doesn't disable me or anything like that, but it's in the back of my head, you know. It's like, okay, be careful about this. I don't like them in certain places at night. You know, I don't want them to do certain things because, you know, you never know. You know, my youngest son, he speaks of how, you know, people move out of his way when they see him coming. You know, certain people move out of his way when they see him coming. This is a harmless kid. This is a harmless kid, and I'm not just saying that because I'm his mother. You know, I've been out in the street, and I've gotten from others, you know, is this your son? You know, oh, he helped me with this or he helped me with that. But because of the fact that he is a black young man, and because he might have on a hoodie or, you know, or whatever it is, you know, he is looked at like he may do something. You know, and it's an unfortunate circumstance, and it makes a person, could you imagine getting that every day? Every day. Getting that type of response, knowing that you're not that type of person, but you're getting that type of response. And could you imagine the frustration and the hostility that builds from something like that? You know, it builds. So what, you know, like, okay, so now, you know, I'm going to take it back to Baltimore. And you have the protests going on, and separate, and know that this is separate from protesting, the looters and the rioters. This is a separate, this is opportunistic behavior, you know. And it's not something that I condone, but it's something that I understand. I understand the hostility. I understand the frustration. I understand the wanting to, you know, rage. You know, I understand the rage, because when I just sitting back and thinking about it, just freaking thinking about it. You know, my father used to talk to me about, you know, about racial things, and I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it because nothing had ever happened to me. You know, but as I've gotten older and the things that I've seen, the things that I've witnessed, the things that I've read about, even, you know, in history, you know, oh, God. My dad, he used to say, the white man is the devil. Now, I don't believe that the white man is the devil. I don't believe that. You know, but I do believe that some devilish behaviors have taken place throughout history. And these type of things, these type of riots, these type of looting, this type of rage is a result of those devilish behaviors. And, you know, it's just people erupt because these people, you know, and I'm not making excuses for them. I am not making excuses for them, but these people are a result of the systematic destroying of a people. You try to destroy a whole damn people. And they didn't go down, but this is the type of rage that you get. When you, okay, you enslaved a people. You enslaved the people. And you let us go. You know, you didn't let us go with any type of You know, it's just let us go. You know, and then when we built something from that, the things that we did build from that, you destroyed. You destroyed. When you saw that there were communities that were being successful, you know, that these people were picking themselves up and they were doing something for themselves, you destroyed it. And, you know, and systematically, you have tried to destroy people economically, socially. You know, you've kept them out of housing, you kept them out of jobs, all of these type of things. And this is the type of result that you have. This is the rage that you have. And, you know, like I said, I'm not condoning it. I do not condone it. But I understand it. I get it. I understand it. I want them to stop. I want them to stop. You know, because I don't think that it does any good. And I don't think, and it detracts from, you know, the peaceful protests or whatever. But then I ask too, you know, with the peaceful protests, oh, goodness. Okay. How am I going to say this the proper and correct way and get across what I mean? With the protests, you know, I look back, you know, the 50s and 60s, there were protests, and we're still protesting some of the same things, you know, and sometimes force is needed to bring about change. Sometimes it is. I can't say it any other way, you know, and it's unfortunate that people who, you know, there are people. Okay. I'm going to take a caller. Okay, caller 3690, you are on the air. Let me know if you want to talk. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Would you like to speak or you just want to listen?
Speak.
Pardon me?
I can speak.
Okay. What do you have to say about what's going, what do you think is the reason things are going the way they're going in Baltimore?
Anger, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Frustration with, because I'm sure this is not the first instance, obviously, of police brutality. It's just getting a lot of widespread media attention. And so this is a culmination of things that have happened over time. So it's not like this is just one incident and then people lost their minds. So while, like you, I don't condone what's happening, I do understand the anger and the frustration and the rage. But what I do not understand is why demonstrate it in that way in your own community. Because after the media circus dies down and is no longer getting the coverage that it's getting now, these are the same people that then have to live in that community. So what you're doing is you're attacking and you're destroying businesses and destroying people's livelihoods of your neighbors. This is not hurting anyone except for the people in the community. And that's the part that I have a hard time understanding. So it does anger me to see the coverage of it in the news. One, because I think they pay way too much attention to the negative and not enough to the positive, and they demonize the behaviors that are going on in Baltimore right now just the same way that they did in Ferguson. Yet when we see people who are rioting and doing the same type of behaviors over things like sporting events, it doesn't get the media, the negative media attention that something like this is getting when the cause for it, the root cause of it is totally different and I think is a lot more valid than a sporting event. So that does upset me, but it also does upset me to see us destroying our own community.
Very good. I lost my thought as you, I was listening to you and I lost my thought. But when you think about people who say, you know, why are they, you know, getting so crazy, you know, things like that. When I say people, other people, I mean white people. You know, when I say this, and this is not not being racist, not against white people or anything like that. But one of the things that I was thinking about today on my way home is that this is really not a problem that they can understand. You know, and I mean, you can see it, you can, you know, not saying that when I say they can't understand it, I mean, it doesn't hit home the way it hits home for us. And it's not just this incident. It comes with a history. Do you understand what I mean? Are
yes,
you there?
And I agree. Because they see it, and because there are plenty of people who know the difference between right and wrong, right? So
right,
they can
right.
see it from the outside, and they know that what's happening is wrong. They know that Black communities have had to deal with the use of excessive force and police brutality, racial profiling, and everything like that. They can see that from the outside, a lot of them, and they don't agree with it, and they think it's wrong. But they don't feel
right.
the rage that we feel because it's not happening to them. They have
right.
not had to experience the same things that we have had to experience, and they have not had to witness the same things that we have had to witness while, you know, from a firsthand account. So while they see it from the outside, and they're like, oh, that's wrong, that's great that they agree that it's wrong, but it's nothing that they would ever, I think, be able to understand because it has not happened to them in a widespread instance that it's happened to us.
Right, and then forgive me for saying white people. I mean people of other races who this does not happen to. That's what I should have said, because it also happens, and you know, to a certain extent, to Hispanic people also. But, you know, people of other races, you know, you might not really get it because it's not a something that you live with. This is something that we live with. You know, I have, you know, two sons, as you know, and although I raised them right, taught them right from wrong, this is not necessarily a protection for them when they go out in the street. You know, even if they're out in the street and they may not be doing anything wrong, this is not a protection. So what is your protection, you know, from this type of brutality? And it, for me, this type of thing is not even necessarily, it might have, you know, it's not necessarily racial as much as it is an abuse of authority.
Right.
You know,
and
the abuse, it's an abuse of authority,
awesome.
You know, which happens to be often, you know, upon Black men from white cops. You know, that's what it usually is. But it's more so an abuse of authority, and the abuse of authority, the people who don't say anything, who could just stop it. You know, the other cops who watched their partner or, you know, their comrade or whatever, what is the word? I lose my word so often. Their colleague abuse somebody, but you keep your mouth shut. You know, and this fear, I think all of it is bred from fear. You know, it's bred from fear. And this hatred is bred from fear. People are taught to, I was thinking earlier, you know, when I was saying, like, my father's, you know, used to say the white man is the devil. And although I don't believe the white man is the devil, it planted in my mind, watch out for them. You know, and you may have people who were not so, you know, whose parents may not have been so blatant, you know, as saying, you know, watch out for them Black people, watch out for them white people. But sometimes your actions, you know, your actions teach that. Do you understand? If you're walking down the street, you know, and you see a Black young man coming and you grab your bag, you know, or whatever, or put your child on the other side or whatever, you know, sometimes your actions feed into that. And so we start to look upon each other in a fearful way, you know, to where it's like it's something you got to get rid of. You know, when the police are looking at young men, you know, like something that they have to get rid of. You know, how can you totally devalue somebody's life This is a person. But you devalued their life. For this man, when I think of like Eric Garner to die for selling cigarettes, see, this it's not about for selling cigarettes. It's the devaluing of his life, of his existence. You know, for this, because they say the man had a switchblade. How do you know he had a switchblade? That has to come after the fact. You understand what I'm saying? What I really think went down is that you had to chase him and you got pissed off and you beat the shit out of him. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it is very frustrating to me. It is very hurtful to me to see these things happen, to be powerless against these things, to not be able to not have an answer for my sons, for my grandsons, to tell them how to protect themselves. You know, you feel powerless all over again. You know, all over again. You know, we're supposed to be beyond, you know, slavery period. We're supposed to be beyond the 60s and the 50s and 60s, you know, where these type of things were blatant. But they're becoming blatant all over again. And how do we stop it? How do you stop it? Is peaceful protesting really the way to stop it? How do you propose that we stop this type of thing?
So I think that the real issue is media and the way that they cover these things. Just to play devil's advocate here for a minute, when you look at people who are in law enforcement positions, a lot of them are white, and a lot of them grew up in communities where they did not have to or where they did not have the exposure or interaction with people, but the same communities that they are now going to be policing. Same thing goes for people who live in, you know, so-called white communities. They've never had to have an interaction with a person of color on any real level. So their only knowledge of the inner city community or of people of color is what they see portrayed on TV and in the media. So then what that does is it perpetuates a cycle because they don't know from firsthand experience that not all people of color or who live in the quote-unquote ghetto are that way. So now they are going to police a community which they have no knowledge about, and all they know about the community is what's portrayed in the media, which is, as we know, is not a positive image most times. So yeah, I think the real issue and one of the major underlying issues is the way that the media portrays our communities.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who are not part of our community, that's the only real exposure they have to it, is what they see portrayed in the media, and it's not a positive image.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The media now is not even about journalism as much as it is about sensationalism. And it is just going to show you what shocks you. You know, it's not even about, I don't even really look at the news anymore because it's BS. And I don't believe half of the things that I see. You know, I don't, because it's lopsided, you know, and when you, because a lot of these things that they show, I don't know people like that. I don't know people like that. You know, I remember when I was little, I used to think all white people were happy because these are the images that I got. So I understand what you mean by people who don't have everyday interactions or real interactions with people of color. You think exactly what all you have to go on is these images that have been projected, you know, and that is of the sensationalism, and that's, you know, it's never of the hardworking people, you know, the people who want, just like you, you know, to raise their family, send their kids to school, you know, be able to take care of the family, you know, that's it. That's all, you know, that's what most people want to do. You know, but when you, if you see, you know, this one raped, this one murdered, this one robbed, you know, you think that's what we're all about. You know, and even in your television shows, you know, you see this type of thing. And it's amazing that after all of these years that it's still the same. You know, it's still the same. And then, too, beyond what is projected to them, it's also projected to us, and we start to believe that stuff. You know, you start to, when people, you're telling us this about ourselves, and sometimes we start to believe it, you know, about ourselves, you know. And so I just wanted to get that off my chest. I don't have any more callers. I just wanted to get that little bit off my chest because I was feeling kind of down about it today. Thank you very much for calling in and giving your opinion. Very intelligent comments. I appreciate it. Thank you and good night.